Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Mordechai Becher, and I'd like to discuss Chanukah. Chanukah, at least at the time that I'm recording this, starts this evening, as all Jewish festivals start on the evening before. Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker, it was evening, it was morning, first day and second day, as it says in Genesis, so for us, that's when the day starts. In any case, the festival of Chanukah is very popular. A lot of people identify with it, probably because they misunderstand it. They either think of it as some type of political independence effort, they think of it as some freedom movement from religious oppression, they think of it as some type of nationalist concept, but really it was a clash of cultures. It was Judaism and the Torah versus the Hellenistic Greeks. I have nothing against the current Greeks. We're talking about the ancient Hellenists, who really, for the Star Trek fans, were like what the ancient Borg, you know, where the motto of the Borg, this alien race, was, "We will assimilate you, we will assimilate you, resistance is futile." Well, to a certain degree, the Greeks were like that. They wanted Hellenism to rule the world. Indeed, they were successful. It was through the conquest of Alexander the Great, or Alexander of Macedon as he's also known, that Greek culture, philosophy and thought came to almost the entire world, to the extent that, if I remember correctly, maybe it was Alan Bloom who called the Western world children of the Greeks. So we're children of the Greeks, but the Jewish people were not happy. Many cultures folded, many peoples gave up the onslaught of the Greek juggernaut of culture and war, etc., etc., but the Jews didn't, and the Jews revolted against Greek rule, and we celebrate our victory against the Hellenists with Chanukah. What is the point of contention between the Jews and the ancient Greeks? What exactly is the point of departure? Where do we argue? What's so terrible about Greek culture? On the contrary, the Talmud has some complimentary things to say about Greek culture. The Talmud says some nice things about it. It says that Greek language is one of the only languages where it's appropriate to translate the Bible into it because of its beauty, the beauty of the Greek language. So in that sense, it seems a little strange. We know that many of our sages, Maimonides and others, used the tools of Greek philosophy, used the tools of Greek logic to explain the world, to explain Torah. So what is it that the argument, where was the argument? The answer can be found in the commentary of Nachmanides, Reb Moshe ben Nachman, a 12th century sage, his commentary on the Torah, Leviticus 15, verse 8, in which he said the following. He says, "We are not like that Greek," that's how he refers to Aristotle and his students. He says two things about them. He says they only admit to that which their eyes can see and their senses can sense. And they only believe as true that which their intellect understands. He calls it arrogant. And indeed, think about it, it is arrogant. What is the Greek view? What was the Greek view? The Greek worldview was the following. If my senses cannot detect this, it does not exist. If my mind cannot comprehend something, it does not exist. There's a tremendous, tremendous arrogance to that. I remember reading a conversation in the famous book. It was famous at least in the 60s and 70s. It was called Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. So there is they're sitting around a campfire, and there's some fellow talking about how ghosts are not real. And so the little kid asks his father, he says, "What do you think?" He says, "Well, I don't know." And the guy says, "Look, ghosts can't be real because you can't see them, you can't feel them, and they don't conform to the laws of physics." So anyway, the father was arguing with him, and one of the things he said was, "Listen, I can't see or feel the laws of physics either. Does that make them not real?" Now, certainly I'm not an advocate for ghosts, but what I'm pointing out is there's a certain arrogance to people who say that if I cannot quantify it, I cannot measure it, it does not show up on the MRI, it doesn't show up in the X-ray, it cannot be weighed in the sense of the amount of grams or cc's or whatever it is, then it does not exist. So Judaism is predicated upon the belief that there is a reality beyond the physical world. There is a reality which we cannot sense with our physical senses, but we know it's there. And we also say that that which the intellect understands is only a small amount of the reality of the world. So the Jewish worldview is based on, and in fact Jews are called Yehudim. Yehudim means those who admit, those who agree. We admit to the reality that is beyond the mind. We admit to a reality that is beyond the grasp of the senses, and we live according to that reality. The Jewish people organized themselves around the temple. We organized ourselves around the Torah and around the laws of the Torah, which are the rules that teach us how to operate in the physical reality, but taking into account the reality of the spiritual world, the reality of the soul, the reality of God, the reality of spiritual worlds. That is something which the Greeks couldn't bear. They couldn't stand it, because they need to quantify. They need to put it out into some chart. They need to summarize it. They need to be able to grasp it. They need to be able to totally understand it. And if they don't totally understand it, it's not there. I remember I had a doctor when I was a kid. It was common to take out tonsils at the time, but he didn't take out my tonsils, because the doctor said to me, he says, look, he says, we say at the moment that the reason we don't understand why we have tonsils, therefore they have no purpose. So the doctor said to me, you know what, I find that therefore somewhat arrogant. You know, we don't know the purpose, therefore they have no purpose. That's a little arrogant. He says, I'm not going to take him out. And I said, thank you, because, you know, jello is a small compensation for having an operation. And I didn't get my tonsils out. But the idea, and I agree with him, is that the therefore that we sometimes say, that's arrogant. I can't see the soul. I can't quantify love. I cannot measure altruism with electric equipment. But all those things exist. And all those things are realities which Judaism revolves around. So we had a clash of two cultures. We had the Jews, who claim that that we are attached to reality beyond which the mind comprehends and beyond which the senses can sense. And there were the Greeks who said there is no reality beyond that which my mind can understand. There is no reality beyond which my senses can detect. And so we had the clash of these two cultures, and the Greeks found it necessary to suppress and oppress Jews. And we celebrate by lighting Hanukkah candles. We light a menorah, and it's interesting, we don't even use the light of the menorah. We can't read by it. We cannot sit there and use the light to look at my nails at nothing. Right? Why? Because that light is not meant to reveal anything physical. It's meant to reveal a reality beyond the physical. So we don't use the light for that which is physical. Thank you very much, and this is Mordechai Becher.